Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Mem Aleph, four lines from the top, we will notice a triangle. This is a series marking that represents a series that we had started in our previous shiur. So for a brief recap, at the lower part of Mem Omid Beis, we had featured Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, and Rav Yitzchak. That is, the Gemara featured these three Rabbanan as claiming Ein Odom Osir Dover Shena Shelo. And according to Rashi's interpretation, even with an action done to someone else's item, one cannot impose prohibition. One cannot prohibit something that's not his. The triangles represent kashas, questions on their principle. So at the end of our previous shiur, we raised the first of these several, these three questions, and the Gemara answered, hence defending the position of Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, and Rav Yitzchak. Continuing now with these questions, Toshma, Shnayim Ochsin Besakim Beshochtim. In fact, this is a quote from our Mishnah. Two are holding a knife and shechting. Echod l'shum echod mikol elu. One has in mind a prohibited thought, an idolatrous thought, as was mentioned in the Mishnah. The echod l'shum dover kosher, and the other person slaughtering had in mind an acceptable thought. Nevertheless, shchita sopsula. So we see that it seems at very first glance that they were slaughtering an animal, not necessarily theirs. And yet the mindset, the idolatrous thoughts that one of these two fellows had created prohibition. The Gemara answers, but before we get to the answer, just to restate the question, so we see prohibition created by someone who doesn't own the animal. In other words, Adam Oser Davar She'eno Shelo. The Gemara answers, Hacha b'mayaski, you know, the case of the two holding the knife and slaughtering is talking about a case, de is lei shutfis begava. The individual that has the idolatrous thoughts, in fact, is a partner in that very animal. So it's a case of shelo, and as a result of it being his, it's obvious that Adam Oser Davar Shehu Shelo. Toshma, another question. Hametame, one who renders impure food of some of his friend. The Hamedamea, Dimua is a mixing of Truma with Chulin. The Hamenaseich, one who stirs or pours wine to an idol. Beshogeg Potter, if one was unaware of the fact that these are prohibited activities, so he would not be guilty. B'mezid chayav, but if he does so with knowledge of these things being forbidden, chayav, he is guilty, and he'll have to pay. Now, amongst the examples, we should focus on that which is dashed underlined, menasech. Someone comes up and stirs his friend's wine. Stirs the friend's wine with idolatrous intentions. And we say that his stirring of the wine results in his ruining his friend's wine. And hence he has to compensate for the loss. What do we see? Adam Oser Dover Shena Shelo. Again, a kasha on what they had said. The Gemara answers, Hocha Nami De'is Le Shutfis Begavah. the example of Menaseh is talking about someone that's a partner in the wine. He's a partial owner of the wine. Therefore, his intentions, his ruinous intentions, take effect. Ketanoi. Now, the Gemara says that the issue of Odom Osir Dover Shenu Shalo, yes or no, is a Machlokes Tanoya. Oyvei Kechovim Shenisech Yeno Shel Yisrael Shelo Bifnei Avodis Kechovim Osro. A Gentile who stirs or pours Jewish-owned wine with idolatrous intentions, even if he's not in front of an idol, he osers it. He imposes a prohibition on that wine. Now, this would be the opinion reflecting contrary to what they had taught, that Adam, this is teaching that Adam oser davar she'eno shelo, that one could impose prohibition on something that is not his. Now, there's another opinion in this source. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Matirin Oisoi, they allow the wine, but they shnei dvarim, on two counts. Number one, Echad Shein Menaslim Yayin Ela Bifnei Avodis Kechavim. First of all, that Nisuch HaYayin, the prohibition of stirring or pouring wine to an idol, is something that has an effect only if you're in front of the idol, not like the case that was featured in the Reisha, which said Shelo Bifnei Avodis Kechavim. And secondly, and more relevant to our discussion, V'Echad, the second objection is Sheyochol Lomar Lo, the owner can say to this Gentile, Lo Kol Heimenoch Shete Oser Yeini Leonsi, it is not within your power to impose prohibition on my wine against my will. That being an outgrowth of the idea of Ein Odom Oser Dovor She'eno Shelo. So as you can see, in this source, that issue is a machlokas tanoim. The first opinion, the Tanakama, holding that it is a, in fact, he is capable. Someone is capable of ossering something that is not his. And the second opinion is holding they cannot. Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchok, Amri. And you can see we have a 2 in the space, in the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, because this is the second appearance of this group of Rabbonim. They say, we should point out, second appearance, the first appearance having been in our previous shiur on Daf Mem Omid Beis. They say, Afilu lemanda omar odom oser davar she'eno shelo, even according to the opinion that holds a person can oser something that's not his, like the Tanakama, like the first opinion in the source we just learned, hani mili kusi. This is true if you're dealing with a non-Jew. Avol Yisrael litzure komechavein. If you were talking about a Jew approaching his friend's item, a Jew is not capable of imposing a prohibition, because a Jew is doing it without real idolatrous intent. He may say so, but he's doing so only to irritate his friend, to upset his friend, to cause suffering to his friend. But he doesn't have true idolatrous intention. Toshma. Well, the Gemara now raises questions on what they just taught. In other words, according to these three Rabbonim, a Yisrael is not capable of asering Dovor She'eno Shelo. We're going to challenge that, Toshma, and we quote in the upcoming Gemara, you can see there are two diamonds. These are questions, and in fact, the Gemara will quote two sources that we already learned on the upper part of this page, but they're quoted in the context of this last distinction made by Rav Nachman and company. Toshma, Shnaim Ochsim Besakin V'shochtin. Two are holding a shechita knife and slaughtering. Echad l'shum, echad mikol elu. One has in mind idolatrous thoughts, as were described in the Mishnah on Daf Mem. The echad l'shum davar kosher, and the other one who was slaughtering had positive thoughts. Shechitoso psula. We see that the shechita is ruined, and we are assuming in this source that we're talking about two Jews. and yet the Jew with the idolatrous intent does impose prohibition. They will answer, Hocha b'mayaskinon b'Yisrael mumar. It's true that we're talking about two Jews, and the Jew with the idolatrous intentions here is not merely trying to irritate, but he really is an idol believer. That's a Yisrael mumar, a sinner Jew. A sinner type Jew is whose mindset is truly dedicated to idolatry. In such a case, so then we can't use the svara of simply litzure komachavim, but he has real idolatrous intent. Toshma, we raise an objection from another objection from the source we learned above. Hametamei vamedamea vamenasech b'shogeg poter b'mezid chayav. And once again, we can focus on the example hamenasech, which is an issue of stirring wine for idols. And it says here, b'mezid chayav, that if he did it with intent, he in fact ruins his friend's wine. That would be a kasha on what they said, that a Yisrael is only the tzu'urei kamachavim, but doesn't have true idolatrous intentions. Here it seems that he does. The Gemara answers, Hochanami b'Yisrael mumar. Here too, we're talking about a Jewish sinner who has dedicated himself to idolatry, and therefore his intention isn't just to irritate the fellow Jew, but he has true idolatrous intentions, and therefore he's not viewed any differently than a kusi that they themselves acquire, that Rav Nachman himself admitted does aser davar she'enu shelo, according of course to that mandomer, the first mandomer in the above Tanaic source. A question now is a separate question is raised, a question of information, not a question on Rav Nachman and company. They have responded to the objections raised. However, a question of an inquisitive nature. Omar le Rav Acho brei de Rav le Rav Ashi. Hisru bo, a Jew was warned not to slaughter for an idol. The kibel olav hasra. This expression literally means, and he accepted the warning, but it means he accepted the warning without any concern of the consequences. In other words, says, fine, you're telling me it's usher to do, I'm going to do it anyway, and I don't care about the consequences. My. What is the din with regard to the shechita here? And we have to point out very importantly, based on Rashi, that the person that was warned, the Jew that was warned not to shecht for the idol, is a Jew that we do not know to have been. He didn't have a mumar status. He wasn't known prior to this as a sinner. So do we say that this is a case simply of Litzurei Komachavein, or is it possible that since he was warned and said he doesn't care, and when he says he doesn't care, let us emphasize the violation of slaughtering to an idol carries with it a death penalty. So you have a person, you're saying he doesn't care that he'll suffer a death penalty. He's doing it anyway. So what is the din with regard to the shechita? Omar Lei. So Rav Ashi answers, "Hiter atzmo lamiso kamers." Are you talking about someone who allows himself to be executed? Namely, he is acknowledging the warning, and he says he doesn't care that he will suffer a death penalty. Someone like that, ein chamumer godol mizeh. You don't have any greater example than a deep sinner than someone like this. So that this case too, if he does shecht the animal, it will become prohibited based on the idea that a Yisrael Mumar who has idolatrous intent does render the animal prohibited, or any other item for that matter prohibited. If he's doing some action with idolatrous intent, then as we said above, with regard to a Yisrael Mumar, we don't say that it's merely litzu'urei komechavein. As we go on to the next Mishnah, we also have a topic heading in the outside margin, and we've written Tsuros Shel Shechita HaAsuros, different forms or behaviors or practices during a slaughtering that are forbidden, because he gives the impression that he is slaughtering to an idol. In other words, there are certain things to be avoided, even though you don't have idolatrous intentions. But people who see you doing these things will think that you're doing a slaughtering to an idol. The Mishnah. Ein shochtin lo lesoch yamim. One should not slaughter into the sea. For example, if he's standing on the shore and he's holding the knife and the animal right over the water, he should not slaughter. One will think that he is slaughtering to the ministering angel of the sea. V'lo lesoch nahoros, and not into rivers. V'lo lesoch kelim, and not into vessels. And the reason for that is people may think that he's trying to collect the blood and eventually use it for sprinkling or zrikas adam to an idol. Aval shochid hu letoch oga shamayim. One can slaughter into a pool of water. Ubesvino al gabi ubesvino. If he's slaughtering on a boat, it's the boats on sea. There he can slaughter al gabi kalim. He can slaughter on vessels, possibly inverted vessels, and the blood will run off the vessels into the sea. And the purpose for this is that he doesn't want the boat to get dirty, and therefore it's clear from the way he's slaughtering that he's not slaughtering to the ministering angel of the sea. Ein shochtin leguma kol ikar. One is not allowed to slaughter into a pit. Avol shoche avol oise guma besoch beso b'shvil shikones hadam lesocha. This phrase is a bit difficulty because it seems to contradict that which was just said. It says here he can make a hole in his house and slaughter into the hole. B'shvil shikones adam l'socha, in order for the blood to go into the hole. U'bashuk lo ya'ase kein, in a public area one is not allowed to do this. Shelo yechakeh es hatzedukim, so as not to appear as one who is following the rules. Yechakeh from the lashon chok. Chok is rules of the tzedukim. The term tzedukim in this context is most likely referring to idol worshippers. So that the Mishnah is teaching us, don't shecht in a form or in a way that would appear that you're following the practices of idol worshippers who apparently do slaughter over holes. The Gemara. Ein shochtin lo lesoch v'chulei, my shno lesoch yamim delo. Why is it that the Mishnah says that one is not to slaughter into the sea? De amri, because people who see this will say lesoro diyamo koshochit, he is slaughtering to the ministering angel in charge of seas. Well, lesoch ugo shalmayim nami, with regard to slaughtering into a pool of water. Also, there is what to suspect, and yet the Mishnah says it's mutter. And what is the problem? Amri, people will say, lebabua koshachet. He is slaughtering to his reflection appears in the water. So that too could create idolatrous thought or appearance in the minds of the public that he's slaughtering to his reflection. Omar Rava. Rava says that's very true, but why does the Mishnah allow it? Ba'akurim Shana, we're talking about murky water where there is no reflection. So he's basically slaughtering over a pool of murky water. There is nothing that people are going to suspect him of, and hence it's allowed. Ein shochtin leguma. Our Mishnah had said one is not to slaughter into a hole. And then it went on to say, avol oisa guma beveso. And then one does make a hole in his house and slaughters into it. So the Gemara asks, "Vo amris ein shochtin leguma klal?" But you just a moment before said that one is not allowed to slaughter into a hole. So to answer this problem, this seeming inherent contradiction in the Mishnah, we have two approaches, and they're numbered one, and that's Abaye, and the number two, a few lines later, also the name underlined Rava. Omar Abaye, Reisha Beguma Shebashuk. The Reisha is talking about slaughtering into a hole in the public, in the marketplace. The Mishnah itself pointed out a distinction between house and marketplace. So the Mishnah acknowledged that in the Shuk one should not do that, and that's what the Reisha was talking about. Omar le Rava. From the fact that in the Seifa it says don't do that in the market, the Reisha, which mentions a prohibition of slaughtering into whole, is not talking about marketplace. That's the topic of the Seifa. The Reisha is not talking about that. Elo Omar Rava. Hochi ko Omar. Rava has his understanding of the source, and he says thusly it is teaching. And we put a frame around this because this is, in effect, according to Rava, what the source is saying. After this frame section, you'll notice another frame section, which is introduced by the term Tanyo Kavose de Rava, where the Gemara presents an actual Tanaic source that bears out what Rava's understanding of the source is right here. So the Gemara goes on to say, in the frame, Ein Shochatin Leguma Kol Iker. One is not allowed to slaughter into holes. V'haroitza lenakir chatzero keitzadu osa. Let us say one wants to slaughter in his own yard, and he doesn't want, lenakir means cleanliness, and he doesn't want it to be full of blood. So what should he do? Osa mokom chutz leguma. He prepares a spot a bit outside, a bit removed from a hole. It could be that he digs a little ditch or some type of decline that leads into a hole. Rashi says a chritz koton, a mokum is a small ditch that leads to a hole, and he v'shochet, and he slaughters next to that little ditch. V'dam shoseis v'yored leguma, and the blood will trickle and descend into the hole. Ubashuk lo yasekein, in the marketplace one should not do even that. In the marketplace is full of dirt, and there's no one would have any concern in a public area shchita of maintaining cleanliness when there is anyway there's a great deal of debris on the floor. Therefore, in the marketplace, one should not do this, shelo yechake es hatzedukim, so as not to appear that he's following the ways of tzedukim. Tanya kavose derava. And now we have a Tanaic source, an actual source that will bear out that which Rava taught. So, before going further, though, as far as the original problem that Rava was coming to answer, the original problem had been the Mishnah says not to shecht into a hole. And then the Mishnah says, but one does shecht into a hole in his house. So the resolution was that there is one issur of shechting directly into a hole. However, when one wants to do a home or yard shechita, he is allowed to shecht near a hole, shechting into a little ditch that leads into a hole in the ground. That would be allowed. Tanya kavose de Rava, now a Tanaic source that supports Rava, hoya mahalech besfina, he's traveling on a boat, v'eino mokom besfina lishchot, and he has no room on the boat to shecht, no place for shechita, motzi yodo chutz lesfina, v'shochet, he can extend his hand outside or over the edge of the boat and slaughter the animal. V'dam shoseis v'yored al dofnei asfina, and makes sure that the blood, in other words, the animal's position in such a way that the blood trickles down the outside wall of the boat and into the water. Apparently, this is a solution for not shechting directly into the sea, which we said was prohibited. The ein shochet begumo kol ikur. One is not allowed to slaughter into a pit at all. One who wants to shecht in his court, in his yard and maintain cleanliness, what should he do? He makes a little ditch outside of a hole, next to a hole, and slaughters over the ditch. And the dam will then trickle into the hole. That is okay. Apparently that's not the way that one would have done this idolatrous or the seeming idolatrous behavior. However, in the public area, one should not do that. Pasuk says that one should not follow their ways. And someone who's shechting in the proximity of a hole in a marketplace where he can't have any, can't possibly be that he's concerned with cleanliness, so it must be that he has some type of idolatrous intention on his mind. This source goes on and concludes saying, "V'im also kein tzorch bediko acharov." If a person in the public area does this kind of shechita next to a over a ditch next to a hole, he's got to be checked out because of his called spurious behavior. To check him out, making sure that he's not some kind of real idol worshiper. The Mishnah goes on and with a new series of intentions during Shechita, some to be avoided, and some not of any concern. The topic heading that accompanies this section in the outside margin reads, Hashochet chulin l'shem korban b'chutz. Someone who slaughters a common animal, but he does it with a sacrificial intent, and he's doing it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Im nikur shemeshaker, if it's obvious that what he's saying he's doing is a joke, is a lie, then shechita sukshera, then the shechita is all right. In other words, no one is going to be misled by this person's actions into thinking that one's allowed to slaughter sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, because what he is doing is obviously a joke. Aval im nitan lachshav shebemes hu akorban sheomar. If, however, there is reason to think that he is slaughtering a sacrifice as per what he said, then shechitaso psula, his shechita will be rendered unfit because he is doing something that could mislead the public. The Mishnah, Hashochet l'shem oilo l'shem zvochim l'shem osham tolui l'shem pesach l'shem toida shechitaso psula. If a person shechts, claiming that he's shechting a korban ola, an ola sacrifice, or l'shem zvachim, other kinds of sacrifices, this term would certainly refer to something like a korban shlomim, l'shem osham tolui, that's a suspended osham offering. This is an offering that's brought when a person is in a state of doubt as to whether he committed an actual sin. So he brings this kind of korban called an osham tolui until what he did becomes clarified. And if it becomes determined that he did an actual sin, he'll then bring a korban chatas. Anyway, he is shechting his mundane animal as if it were an osham tolui, or an animal that he has, he shechts l'shem Pesach, as if it's a korban Pesach, l'shem Toda. All of these are examples of shechitas psula. In all of these cases, people seeing him could get the impression that these are real sacrifices and that it's allowed to shecht outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon machshir. Rabbi Shimon is not worried about the way things look. Shnayim ochse besachim v'shochtin. Two people holding a knife and slaughtering. Echod l'shum echod mikol elu. One of the people has in mind these problematic thoughts. The echod l'shum dover kosher, and the other one who's slaughtering has proper thoughts. Shchitas psula. The fact that one of the two has these sacrificial thoughts in mind, the ruins the shchita. Now, in contrast, Ashochit l'shem chatos, l'shem osham vadai, person who slaughters his own animal, claiming it's a sin offering, or an osham, a definitive osham offering. L'shem b'chor, l'shem meiser, shechs it as if it's a firstborn, or as a meiser behema, l'shem t'mura. T'mura is a function or an action of, called a sanctification replication, where he attempts to replicate a sacrifice on to another animal. Shchitaso kshera. These are examples where the shchita is okay. Ze haklal, and now a rule. Kol davar sheni dar v'nidev, hashochit l'shmo aser. Any type of sacrifice that could be brought on a voluntary basis, if one shechts with that kind of korban in mind, and he's doing it, of course, outside the Beis HaMikdash, that will become usur. The shechita will be unfit. V'she'eno nidar v'nidev, if one shechts regarding those kind of sacrifices that cannot be brought voluntarily. For example, a sin offering is an example of something that one cannot bring voluntarily. He brings it only if he is guilty of a chatos type offense. So if one shechts with that type of korban in mind, hashochet l'shmo kosher, that type of shechita will be okay. And once again, this is based on the idea that is an onlooker going to think that this is a real korban? And if he would get the impression it's a real korban, he could also at the same time get the impression that one can do shechutei chutz, one can slaughter outside the Beis HaMikdash. And since we want to prevent people from coming to those kind of conclusions, we will render the shechita unfit. So it all depends. Will people think that what he's doing is for real, or it will be obvious to people that his declaration is a joke, that what he's claiming it is couldn't be. Hashochet l'shem oila v'chulei. In other words, the Gemara wants to draw our attention to the case of Osham Tolui. In the Mishnah, it said that if one shechts l'shem osham tolui, the shechita is posel. Well, according to the rule of the Mishnah, the osham tolui would then have to be categorized as something that comes on a voluntary basis. So the Gemara asks, osham tolui bar nidar v'nidev hu? Is an osham tolui something that can be brought on a voluntary basis? Up till now, our understanding of Osham Tolui is if one ate, let us say, something that's Sofik Chelev, there were two pieces of meat in front of him, one being a prohibited and the other allowed, and he doesn't know which one he ate, the prohibited one being a piece of Chelev, which if one does eat a piece of Chelev, B'shogeg, he brings a Korban Chatos. In this case, he doesn't know if he ate the piece that's Chelev or the piece that's acceptable, that's kosher. He brings an Osham Tolui. But if not for that, he wouldn't bring an Osham Tolui. It's not something that he could bring voluntarily. And being that that's the case, why is one who declares that he's shechting an Osham Tolui and he's doing it outside the Beis HaMikdash, why is it posel? It's not something that can be brought voluntarily. So people will know that what he's doing is a joke. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ha-mani, the Mishnah that says that one who shechts l'shem osham tolui is the shechita's posel, Rabbi Eliezer, he. This, it conforms to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, where our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, D'yamar misnadei v'oram osham tolui b'chol yoyim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, a person can bring on a voluntary basis an osham tolui every day. Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that an Osham Tolui is brought when a person feels he may have sinned. And no person can go through a day feeling that he didn't sin. being that that's the case, people who see a person shechting l'shem Hashem Toli, and going along the lines of Reb Lezer, he may have dedicated it as an Hashem Toli. And he dedicates it to clear his conscience, so to speak, or more accurately, to achieve atonement for the suffix sins that he may have done. As a result of that, it is a voluntary type offering, and hence one who shechts his animal l'shem that, with that in mind, the shechita is possible. Question. Now we turn to the Pesach. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah said, one who shechts l'shem Pesach, the shechita is possible. But the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, bar nidav v'nider hu zimna kaviyale. The Korban Pesach has a fixed time. Zimna kaviyale, the 14th of Nisan, is the time one brings it. It's not a voluntary type sacrifice that one brings just whenever he wants. So why is one who shechts l'shem Pesach considered shechita psula? Omar of Hoshaya, Shiny Pesach, the Korban Pesach is different. Hoyil v'hafroshoso kol hashana kula, since one can set aside an animal in anticipation of Pesach all year. He can set it aside in anticipation of the upcoming Pesach. Now, we have to add, and this one can find in the Rashi, that a Korban Pesach that one happened to shecht at any other time of the year becomes automatically a Korban Shlomim. And a Korban Shlomim is something that's brought on a voluntary basis. So, as a result of that, the Korban Pesach falls into the general realm of something that is Nidar v'Nidev, and therefore, one who shechts a Pesach, Shari Mos HaShona, he's really shechting a Korban Shlomim. And that's why it's something that is, if done with that in mind, the Shechita is Psula. Omer of Yanai, Lo Shonu Elot Mimim. The teaching that the Shechita is Psula, that the Shechita ruins the animal when he does it with these different sacrifices in mind, is provided the animal is blemish-free, it's tumim, so that people could really get the impression that he's shechting a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash. Aval balei mumin, but if this guy was dealing with a blemished animal, and he's saying that he's doing it as if it's one of these sacrifices, may the yadia, it's obvious, it's known to people that it's a joke. And it's known because it's a Baal Mum is something that's not acceptable. A blemished animal is not acceptable as a sacrifice. So that his declaration that he's slaughtering it as a sacrifice is viewed in the eyes of the public as a joke, and no one's going to get any wrong impressions about an allowance to shech korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan Omar afilu Baal Mum in Nami, even in the case of the slaughtering of blemished animals with a sacrificial intent expressed, the shechita will be possible. Zimnin derumi leimidi amuma velo yadia. The blemish that's on any given animal may be covered by something. Rumi le, something is placed over the part of the animal that has the blemish. So people will not realize that it's a Baal Mum, and then the whole story of the wrong conclusion resurfaces. Hashochet l'shem chatos. Our Mishnah taught that shechting l'shem chatos, since a chatos is not a voluntary offering, people will realize that this is a joke. And therefore, the shechita is kosher. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi shonu elo she'enu mechuyev chatos. The teaching of the Mishnah is that the shechita is kosher is only if you're dealing with someone that doesn't have that hasn't sinned, and thereby chayev to bring a korban chatos. Now, we have to add a little explanation. If you're dealing with a person that hasn't actually sinned, and he declares that he's doing it as a korban chatos, people will realize that it's a joke. The idea being that if he had done an actual sin, that would be something that people would know about. And being that we have someone that hasn't committed an actual sin, and he declares he's doing it as a korban chatos, it's, in the eyes of the public, a joke, and therefore the shechita is kosher. So Rabbi Yochanan is pointing out that the kashrus of the shechita is provided he hasn't actually sinned. But if he has actually sinned, avol mechuyav chatos, emo, people will say, l'shum chatoso hu oise. He is doing this shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash to fulfill his sin offering requirement. And then the story of people coming up with getting the wrong impression will be true. The Gemara asks, "V'aloha lo koma l'shem chatosi," but he didn't say that he's shechting it for his chatos. And once again, if he doesn't say l'shem his own chatos, people will say that this is a joke. Amar Rabbi Avol, and he appears in a diamond because he's going to come to answer a similar question that's raised a few times in the upcoming Gemara. So he answers the case Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, that if he was chayav achatos, the shechita would be unfit if he does it. But Omer, where he announces l'shem chatosi, in other words, we're dealing with someone that had been guilty to bring a korban chatos, and when he comes to do the actual shechita, he says, "I'm doing it for my chatos. I'm doing it as my chatos," meaning the chatos that I am obligated to bring. L'shem tumura, our Mishnah said that it's kosher. Tumura is this concept of replication of sanctity onto another animal. Amar Belozer, lo shanu elo she'en lo zevach besoch beso. The Mishnah that teaches that if he does it l'shem tumura, the shechita is considered, the shechita is kosher because it's viewed as a joke in the eyes of the public. This is true only if he doesn't have an actual sacrifice in his house. Avol yesh lo zevach besoch beso. If we're talking about someone who's the owner of an actual animal dedicated as a korban, as a sacrifice, then Amo, people will say, Emuri Omir Bey, that what he's shechting now is the Emuri is the Lashon Tmura. It is the Tmura of the animal that he has in his house. The Gemara asks, but Vahalo Kamar L'Shem Tmura Zivchi, but he's not saying that he's doing it as the Tmura of his Korban. Omer Rabbevo, Be'omer, Rabbevo answers similar to before, Be'omer, where this guy declares l'shem tmuras zivchi. And if that be the case, that is viewed, it's not viewed as a joke, because if you're dealing with someone that owns an animal, he may very well be shechting a tmura of that animal outside, and that would be something that would create an incorrect impression in the eyes of the public. Ze haklal lasuyei mai. When a Mishnah gives a list of examples, and on my own I could create a rule, and yet the Mishnah goes on to say ze haklal, the Mishnah has an agenda to add something to the list. Therefore, the Gemara asks lasuyei mai, what else is being included? Answer: lasuyei ulas nozir. A nozir, a person who accepts upon himself the status of nozir, whereby he refrains from wine and tumas mesim. At the conclusion of that nozir period, he brings korbanos. Amongst the korbanos that he brings, the sacrifices that he brings, is a korban ola. Now we have a case of someone who says, I am shechting an olas nozir. And he's doing this as the Mishnah featured outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Our Mishnah had taught a rule, and the Mishnah that says that we, as a rule, that anything that's nidev v'nidev, the shechita will be posel, will include the olas nozir. Now, why does the Mishnah have to include it? Temal detemo holo nodar. You might have thought that, well, but this guy didn't accept upon himself Nazirus. So what he's doing is a joke. Amar, we would say, no. People will figure a person who declares what he's doing is an olas nazir, nodar betzino. He accepted in private the Nazirus practice, and therefore he has to bring an olas nazir, and therefore what he's doing will not be viewed in the eyes of the public as something unnecessary or unwarranted, and hence a problem. The Mishnah also taught that as part of the rule of the Zaklal, the she'eno nidar v'nidev, things that are not brought voluntarily, this part of the Zehaklal is what is it coming to include? Lasuye oilas yoledes, to include one who declares he's bringing the sacrifice that is needed to be brought for a woman who gave birth. After a woman gives birth, she has a period of time in which she's tameo, and at the conclusion of the Yoledes period, she brings sacrifices. Amongst the sacrifices, she brings an Olas Yoledes. So our mission is teaching that this kind of declaration, person says, I'm shechting l'shem Olas Yoledes, shitoso would be kosher, because it's not something brings voluntarily. Omer Belozer, loy shanu, elo she'en lo isha. The Mishnah that teaches that, or that includes the olas yoledes as being kosher, this is true if the person bringing it doesn't have a wife. Aval yesh lo isha, if he has a wife, emar lishma hu ose, that he's bringing it for her. The Gemara asks, but v'holo komar l'shem olas ishti. He's not saying that he didn't say that he's shechting the ola of his wife. Why then would people get the wrong impression? Omar Rabbi Avol b'Omer l'shem olas ishti. The Mishnah is alluding to a case of someone who says, we're talking about a married man brings an olas yoledes, and he says, I'm bringing this for my wife. So, according to Rebbe Lazar, this kind of shita would be puzzle. So the Gemara says, well, that's pshita, it's obvious. If a person is married, and he says he's bringing this l'shem olas ishti, people will take it seriously and come to wrong conclusions, and therefore the shita should be puzzle. It's obvious. So the Gemara answers, mahu detema. One might have thought, im isa de yolda, if it were true that she really gave birth, kola havale, it would have been public knowledge, it would have been known. And since people don't know about it, it's not public knowledge, it must be that what he's saying is a joke. Komash malon, what Rabbi Lozer is telling us, emar apuli opil, it may be that she miscarried. And that if you have a man announcing olas ishti, a married man saying olas ishti, even though the public is not aware of a birth, that still will not rule out in the eyes of the public a person's need to bring an olas yoledes, because these korbonos are brought even in the case of a miscarriage. And a miscarriage is an event that's of a very private nature, and yet people, and as a result of that, people they won't be aware of an actual birth, but they will consider that maybe there was a miscarriage, and hence what he's doing is a serious intended sacrifice, and he's doing it outside the Beis HaMikdash. And hence Rebbe Lozer is telling me that under those circumstances where we have a married man saying olas ishti, it would not be viewed as a joke, and the animal sacrifice, the animal slaughtering, will say it's not a sacrifice, it's a slaughtering with sacrificial intent, would be a ruined slaughtering. With that, we complete the perek and our shiur for today.